Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Exposure. Not a phase, as I once thought, but a way. The paradigm shift toward transparency. J.D. Vance, first VP to support invoking an Article 5 Convention of States, he is leaving the Senate with a challenge proposing the Dismantle the DEI Act in the Senate. It's a good move. Grading MAGA's first test, Matt Gaetz withdraws from his nomination to be the United States Attorney General, and his replacement pick, Pam Bondi, former Florida Attorney General. An overview of what Trump's picks are up against. The Gaetz replacement, Bondi, well, she'll have her hands full. Elon, Vivek, and the transparency movement, putting together a website to expose all the fiscal nonsense going on in Congress and to provide a regular update video report on their progress. I love it. RFK has got a lot to tackle. Hegseth, all of Trump's team, will have to spend lots of time cleaning up the mess Biden-Harris is purposely leaving behind with their sabotage efforts on their way out. Kristi Noem, too. We'll have a lot to clean up after the Biden-Harris-Helene sabotage rampage. The sex trafficking hub, with spokes extending to virtually all points of the wheels of power in this corrupt government. Alt-America, I should say. The wheels and the motors that are driving democracy is this sex trafficking business, let me tell you. And it appears the Uniparty, CCP apparatchiks, are going to protect it at all costs. Oh, and Jaguar went woke. And now, as Trump prophesied, is going broke. Stock price tumbles amid woke backlash. There's no way I'm getting to all of the material I have for today, but you can join me Saturday night for Brain Massage Live at 7 p.m. And in my notes, I provided the link to my Rumble page, Facebook page, Twitter page, and so on. Or you can just search Jerry Scheidbach Brain Massage, and you're going to find a whole bunch of places to access the show. Okay, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Matt Gaetz withdraws his nomination to be United States Attorney General. And I said that would be MAGA's first test. Let's give it a grade. I called the confirmation process, particularly of Matt Gaetz, the first test of Trump's MAGA mandate. Matt withdrew his nomination after, 8 days, when Trump informed him he did not have the votes in the Senate to get confirmed. Five rhinos have dug in their heels and said under no circumstances would they confirm Matt. These Trump haters and traitors to MAGA are McConnell, Murkowski, Collins, Mullen, and Curtis. With these five joining the Democrats, Gaetz's appointment would certainly be blocked. The purposely leaked, they said hacked, sealed Ethics Committee report on allegations that Gaetz engaged in sex with a 17-year-old was done to give cover to these backstabbers in order to provide a smokescreen to cover their betrayal of MAGA Americans. And they're not the only ones, by the way. I'm having difficulty getting to the names of all the Republicans that banded together to shut out Gaetz. I wonder if Josh Hawley was among them. I don't think so. I would certainly hope not. He went with McConnell, protege Thune, to take the place of Senate leader. And he did that, he said, because the guy's my friend, you know, that kind of thing. The old buddy system, I guess, said nothing about his commitment to the voters' MAGA mandate. It's insider cronyism that I don't like, you see. And friend, we can never get this government back under the people, so long as representatives that we vote into office become absorbed into the party machinery. You know, like a sailor absorbs into the Flying Dutchman. As long as these guys are intent on representing the interests of the party ahead of the interests of the voting public, we're not going to get this country back under our power. MAGA wanted Rick Scott. Josh thought he'd rather support his friends and the establishment than MAGA Americans. You should know that the bogus allegation that Matt Gaetz violated an underage girl, it's an allegation, by the way, examined by the Biden-Harris Ethics Committee and found to have insufficient evidence to support the allegation. And they did not arrange, by the way, any bimbo payments for this one. None that I can find. Unlike many other representatives who were accused and taxpayer dollars were used to pay hush money. So anyway, since they, that is the children of disobedience, could not hope to get rid of Gaetz by an accusation that would not stand under honest scrutiny, they decided to file it away for political use, where, you know, in political use, nothing has to be proved, only alleged. And they leaked this report to the press. They say it was hacked. That's nonsense. It was leaked. So these rhinos know full well it's bogus, and they only used it to create a smokescreen to hide their treachery. I think they brought it up now to smear him, to provide cover for these wicked rhinos, to protect their fellow child trafficking bosses. Uh-huh. Well, we'll see. And once again, it appears Trump is two steps ahead of them. His new pick, Pamela Bondi, is on record for vowing to go after the deep state to drain the swamp, including steps like declassifying what they're trying to hide. Bondi served as Attorney General for Florida from 2011 to 2019. And she wasn't a DEI pick like Harris anyway, and represented Trump in his first impeachment farce. She was graded by Dems as more dangerous to the deep state than Gaetz. Yeah, one MSNBC guest contributor, Professor Jason Johnson, warned liberals not to be too quick to go all high fives as if defeating Gaetz' pick was a victory. He said Bondi is a greater threat than Gaetz. He said she shares all his values and, quote, actually knows how to do this job, end quote. He gave us some insider intel on ranking Dems' response to Gaetz. They considered him weak and compromised because they had this thing to hang over his head, and as Johnson said, he has had no experience handling the intricacies of the Office of Attorney General. Many upper-level Dem strategists actually figured Gaetz would likely bungle about in unfamiliar territory, sort of like what Trump did in his first term, and make mistakes they could exploit to slow him down or stop him. But now, Johnson warns, Bondi is more dangerous because she knows how to do the job. She's, he said, competent. And that scares them even more. Some think it's possible Trump played this knowing how it would run out. That maybe it's the case that this is the preferred pick. I don't know. You know, Gaetz does not seem unhappy about all this, does he? Oh, we got to wait and watch and see how this thing plays out. But Pamela's loyalty to Trump is solid, and we know she's a fighter. I remember her pressers while representing Trump in his first impeachment. Now, Bondi has got some things to deal with, including rogue prosecutors who need to be brought to justice. Jack Smith, Letitia James, Alvin Bragg, and Fannie Willis, all of them, maliciously participated in the weaponization of the legal system to take out a political opponent. To use the sword of justice to pursue an unjust assault on an American citizen who posed a threat to them politically. Now, I wonder what she's going to do about all this. We'll see. She will have to install policies supported by serious consequences for violation to protect us against the weaponization of the DOJ in the future. She needs to look past her own term of office, by the way, in all of her actions. She might have to send arrest warrants out against Ray and Mayorkas. And no, I'm not talking about the arrogant nose snubbing of the Senate's subpoena. That would be the Senate's job. But Schumer isn't going to do that, now is he? He only punishes for that sin, that crime, if it's a MAGA American who does it. You know, like Bannon. Schumer does not support the Senate's power of subpoena when it comes to, its legal use and its legitimate use for inquiry into matters related to the, security of the country? So Schumer's Senate postponed hearings on national security threats posed by porous borders created, reinforced, and facilitated by Mayorkas and Ray, who have defied being called to sit before a committee to answer questions about national security. We've got to break up the good old boys club that's controlling Washington. I'm way done with that. How about you? Anyway, I give Trump and the MAGA movement an A for this first test. Trump was ahead of it, and it's very likely sending Gates out first was a great way to further expose the rhinos and to keep us diligent with regard to what we're up against here. We need to help Elon primary these guys in 2026. He offered to fund primarying any of these Republicans that oppose Trump's, or let's put it this way, who oppose the MAGA agenda. And of the five that stood to oppose Gates, Collins and McConnell are up for re-election in 2026. Now, McConnell is going to retire, at least that's what we're being told. That could change when the Democrats convince him that they really need him there a little longer. But we can help, because they'll keep completely demented people in office if it serves their purpose, right? He just needs to be a figurehead there who'll do whatever it is he's told to do. So also on the list, however, of those who can be primaried in 2026 are War Hawk, Lindsey Graham, and Ukraine Hawks, supporters at all costs, Cornyn and Joni Ernst. I like them most of the time, but this thing, anyway, so exposure is not a phase, as I once thought, but a way that business should be done. The paradigm shift toward transparency. And Elon and Vivek are leading the way. They've launched a transparency in government movement, using social media to inform America what's going on in Congress and the way they spend our tax dollars. Also, he's exposing the sanctuary states and who does big pharma pay. For example, he's let us know that Biden got over $9 million, not personally, but for his campaign. Barack, $6 million, that's rounded. Hillary, $4.5 million, Harris, $4.1 million, and Romney, $3.3 million. Big Pharma owns these yahoos. RFK has a lot to deal with. As head of Health and Human Services, he has told us he will be focused on making Americans healthy again. And he has been talking a lot about the junk American processed food companies load up into our cereals and other consumables. Will he also break the FDA effort to build walls between us and helpful medications, access to, say, ivermectin? Here's an article exposing the amazing healing power of this drug that Fauci and his counterparts in the FDA, CDC, and their accomplices in the MSM and social media fought against with all their might. They wanted to keep Americans from learning about ivermectin, and it just doubled back on them as a total fail. It's obvious Big Pharma feels particularly threatened by this natural drug. Check it out. It's showing serious promise against cancer and even dementia. And what will he do? And that's in my notes, by the way, a link here. And what will he do about this news from Jesse Waters, who informed us 50% of the FDA's budget comes from Big Pharma? In the past 20 years, 11 of 12 FDA commissioners went on to high-paying jobs at pharmaceutical companies. A reward for services rendered? I don't know. It looks that way to me. I mean, I sure don't trust these yahoos. And look at this. The dietary guidelines published in 2020 by the USDA were crafted by panelists who had serious conflict of interest ties to food and pharma industries. The Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics owns stock in ultra-processed food companies, and they take gifts from these companies. And it turns out that food pyramid that told us how to eat, well, that was a scheme concocted to get certain people rich and other people fat and sick. We know RFK's position on vaccines. How will he respond to the facts coming out about, well, how about this? The WHO, fully jabbed and proud of it, director of the WHO, World Health Organization, General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, whatever, was rushed to the hospital on Wednesday night in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, with serious heart failure concerns. Well, maybe he'll send him a get-well card and perhaps encourage him to, well, think about retiring. But how about this news? One of the most heavily vaxxed counties in America is now facing a heart attack crisis, quote unquote. Are you ready for this? I think you better sit down. Quote, 98% of people in King County, Washington, that's Seattle area, took at least one COVID shot, and the data is not looking good. A peer-reviewed study has found a jaw-dropping 1,236% surge in excess heart attack deaths among King County's 2.2 million residents. If you look at the period from 2020 to 2023, cardiac arrest deaths rose about 25%. And that's during a time frame in which King County's population shrank. So population increase does not account for this. Peter McCullough said, quote, it looks like the vaccines are the smoking gun, end quote. Now, this is a Department of Justice concern as well, and it's a national security issue. Get this, quote, Pentagon data shows heart failure spiked nearly 1,000% among pilots in 2022. Okay, you think we might need our pilots healthy with the things that are going on in the world right now? Now, I'm only guessing. But I think under RFK, with Musk owning Twitter X, or should we call it X Twitter? It's cute. And with Bundy at the justice helm, well, what do you think? The FDA and CDC are not going to push back hard against the Tennessee Senate bill that was passed, which bans vaccines from being put into foods. Friend, indeed, it's a new day dawn. Hold on to the break, I'll be right back.
Does it seem to you that Satan is getting the upper hand in your life, your home, your church, and in our nation? How can this be? The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, right? Jesus warned us that we would face devils that can only be overcome by prayer and fasting. Call 805-314-2114. Call 805-314-2114. GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your Blaine Masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I think I have time to address J.D. Vance's support for a convention of states. Now, I've been on record opposing this, and I continue to have some reservations. But I've looked more deeply into the issue, and I'm beginning to think it might be the only way forward. The resistance to Trump's picks is opening my eyes to see more clearly a critical issue. I've seen it for a while, but it's just coming to a head here. And it is the issue that must be in place to justify calling for a convention of states, which is an act that bypasses Congress on the issue of presenting amendments to the American people. Now, the Congress does not represent the voters any longer. They've become a good old boy club. And like I said in the first segment, they get absorbed into the party politics game like a sailor becomes part of the Flying Dutchman. Of course, that's a metaphor. Let's look at this. I'm responding to a report that J.D. Vance is the first VP to support invoking Article 5. I call for a convention of states, that particular provision of Article 5. There's an organization that's been out there a while called Convention of States Action. And I've read their pocket guide. I've always been in full sympathy with the concerns expressed, but felt that tampering with the Constitution in this way required a circumstance where it is clear that the majority of Americans are in support of liberty. But having read more deeply into this matter, while I do have some concerns that I'll mention in a moment, I totally understand the reason a convention of states is felt necessary by many of our conservative heroes. So let's begin with what Article 5 says. The topic of the article is how we can amend the Constitution. Quote, "The Congress, whenever two-thirds of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution, or, on the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the several states, shall call a convention for proposing amendments, which, in either case, shall be valid to all intents and purposes as part of this Constitution, when ratified by the legislatures of three-fourths of the several states, or by conventions in three-fourths thereof, as the one or the other mode of ratification may be proposed by Congress, provided that no amendment which may be made prior to the year 1808 shall in any manner affect the first and fourth clauses in the ninth section of the first article, and that no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate," end quote. Now, my concerns are related to some of the safeguards those who are advocating for invoking Article 5, that section that calls for the legislatures of 34 states to call for the Congress to set up a date and time for this convention to occur, is that the convention would be limited to propose amendments that are in line with the topics that are stipulated in the application to Congress for a calling together of a convention of states. The language actually only requires two-thirds of the state's legislatures to call a convention for proposing amendments. Nothing is actually said about limiting the convention to only the topics stipulated in the call for the convention. Okay, advocates point to precedent, but even in their examples, especially the first one, the topics to be addressed, it seems to me, were not strictly limiting. They should be. So much care should be given to make sure that the states that do this have that limitation within the language of their call for this convention. I mean, after all, amendments have been used to cancel earlier amendments, right? Just be mindful of that. It has happened. And we all know how lawyers read into language and squeeze and twist meaning out of language that would shock a person with common sense. They get so far removed from the language. And this clouds and confuses ignorant people all the time. This is the reason I always insisted back in the 90s that it would not be a good time to invoke Article 5, that portion of Article 5. But with the red wave, it does appear that if it's going to be done, now would be a good time to move forward with it. One can legitimately argue that the language of Article 5 means the amendments desired are to be stipulated with limitations to topics presented in the application to Congress. I get that. But it could go another way. And so, however, that 34 states would come together and want an open-ended convention is so unlikely it gets close to impossible to imagine. Anyway, the reason it's needed today is that the Congress has failed. How many times have we won in the ballot box, we conservatives, only to lose in Congress votes? Because mostly Republicans, simply it seems, don't know how to act when they win. At least that's one of the constructions we put on this mystery. They don't know how to wield power. Over and over again, we have felt betrayed by our Republican representatives and senators. I mean, it's like we send them to Congress and they become absorbed into the good old boy club and begin representing each other and covering for each other or for the party or the party bosses, or they get corrupted and come under the control of deep state operators. This is exactly the circumstance that requires invoking that provision in Article 5 that allows us to bypass Congress in order to make amendments to the Constitution. As Congress is currently constituted, neither chamber can be trusted to be responsive to the people's voice expressed through the ballot. We are witnessing this right now with the Republican resistance to getting behind MAGA. I object to much in this little book. I mean, here and there, minor things. I'll make all my objections no more clearly in the future. However, the primary concern that I have had are adequately addressed in this PDF booklet, and I recommend it to you. Here it is. Here's a link where you can get it. Here is a list of items, proposed amendments, that we probably would never get through without a convention of states. 1, limit Supreme Court justices to 9 members. 2, prevent the addition of states to the union without the affirmative consent of 3/4 of the existing states. That's a no-brainer. Require members of Congress to live under the same laws they passed for the rest of us. Yeah. Impose term limits on members of Congress. I'm all for it. Require a balanced federal budget. Yeah, well, we've had laws on that, and you've seen what they've done. Impose limits on federal spending and or taxation. Definitely. Get the federal government out of our education system and get the federal government and federal bureaucrats out of our health system and stop them these unelected bureaucrats from imposing regulations on the American people that act as laws. Set term limits for Supreme Court justices. Set term limits for federal bureaucrats, ending the dominance of the swamp. Remove authority from the federal government over state energy policy. Force the federal government to honor its commitment to return federal lands to the states, and so on. Now, these are all in the Convention of States Action pamphlet. I would add Sanctity of Life Amendment. Protection against any law that facilitates child mutilation or sexualization by adults, with a mandatory death penalty against any who exploit children or women or men in slavery or sexual exploitation. A prohibition against making laws redefining gender roles and marriage, and provide for criminal prosecution of any public official convicted of tampering with the sanctity of the vote of the people. That should be in there somewhere. In state or federal elections, in my opinion, and criminal prosecution of anyone holding public office who uses that office to advance an agenda violating any constitutionally protected rights of the American people. Okay, I've run out of my time. I'll pick up on some of this Saturday night, and we'll continue this conversation in the future. And the bottom line is, any action by a public official that is a violation of their oath of office should be prosecutable by criminal law. So, my dear friends, I must bid you adieu. I have lit the lamps of the Church Welfare Arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net, and send me an email. Or call 1-805-314-2114 and leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. And I'll get back to you if you tell me that you want me to call you back. Many people just want to call and say lights on, lights off, or give me a little idea or thought that they have, this kind of thing. But if you want me to call you back, I'm always glad to. I love to talk to my audience. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.